In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, in all of creation, there is nothing greater than man. One man is worth the entire universe. In God's eyes, one man is greater than everything. The angels, stars, the planets, all of the universe. And that is because man is made in the image of God. We are made to be like God. That's different than the angels. The angels are made to know God, but not to be like him. We are to be in his image and his likeness. And because of that, because we are to be like God, we are laborers with God. We do things that God does. We create life. As God created life, all of the creation of life now, all of the creation of human life is our responsibility. God doesn't do it, we do it. The first man and the first woman were created by God, but from then on, man creates man. That's a God-like thing. That's acting like God. That's being a laborer with God. And so the apostle says, we are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. That is a great and awesome gift and responsibility. Any great gift has responsibilities attached to it. The world wants to think that you can have things without responsibility, but that's not true. Your heart tells you that's not true. With great gifts come great responsibilities. Since we are made in the image and likeness of God, and therefore we are laborers together with God, that means we are responsible to act like God, to love as he loves, to be kind as he is kind, to forgive as he forgives, to labor as he labored. And of course, our image of the Father is Jesus Christ. And we saw him labor. We know of his labors. They are recorded both in print and also in the mind of the church. And so we are to be like him and labor like him. This is a great responsibility. You must remember that you are made in the image and likeness of God. You are precious. You are bought with a price. And don't ever forget that. Now we forget that. We forget that when we sin. We forget that when we feel despondent. We forget that when we feel worthless. When we have, as the one of the buzzwords poorly used in our society, when we have poor self-esteem. Society has no idea what self-esteem is. They think it's to love the self above all things. True self-esteem is to know that God has made you and you are in his image and you are therefore a co-laborer with him. Therefore, you have to act like it. You have to live like it. Now, I said there's responsibility with great gifts, and indeed there are. The apostle goes on to say, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. So your works will be evaluated by God. And how can they not be? When God judges all men, he will say either he knows us or he doesn't know us. And how does he know us? By who we are. And who we are influences what we've done. So you are responsible every day for acting like God, for being a co-laborer with God. Your day is not just about going to school or going to work or doing errands or watching television or doing whatever. That's not what your day is about. Your day is about being a co-laborer with God. It's a great and awesome responsibility to participate in the economy of God. Now, there are other examples that I could give you of how we are co-laborers with God. We do things that are God-like. The scripture, you know, says, ye are gods. It's referring to us. We're gods. Now, we don't believe in multiple gods, but we believe, we know, that we are made to become like God, to have union with him. And if we have union with him, then of course we should act like him, and we should have some of his power. So we have the power to create human beings. We have the power to call down the Holy Spirit and have bread and wine become the body and blood of Christ. That's only possible with a person standing before the altar, a priest or a bishop. It's only possible if a man intervenes. God will not do it otherwise. So we are called to do that. We are called to forgive. That is a godlike thing. We are called to love, and of course God is love. We are called to comfort one another, to teach one another, to rebuke one another, to support one another. Those are all godlike things. We are co-laborers with him. And that work that we do will be judged. Everything else you've done, it's all going to go away. Everything. But what you become, that will be judged. Now, there's this passage that follows what St. Paul said that I just quoted that is much misunderstood by some. I must admit that I misunderstood it for a long time. It says, if any man's work abide where he hath built therefrom, he shall receive a reward. That's understandable. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as so through fire. The interpretation of that, especially of those outside of the church that don't know the fathers, is that, well, you can still be saved, but, you know, you just go through many tribulations in life and difficulties, and you do it the hard way. There is no hard way and easy way. There's one way, okay? There is no hard way and easy way. There is either you follow God or you don't. Either you are a co-laborer with him or not. So the person who is saved yet as though through fire means he goes to hell. Because if your works are burned, if they're considered to be worthless before God, then you will be in hell. It's important to understand that. You must be a co-laborer with God. Sometimes I hear silly things from people or silly attitudes. Often they're not really expressed in words, but I can see that they're expressed in the way people live. Oh yes, the work of God is for the priests, for the bishops, for nuns, for monks, for holy people. No, it's for you. You better be doing it. You are a co-laborer with God. And why is that? Well, the apostle, after he says about a man's work will be judged, and if his works are worthless and burned, he will suffer loss and be saved through fire, meaning he will be damned. And then the man whose works are good and acceptable before God will be accepted in God's eyes. After he says that, he says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit dwelleth in you? It's one of the most important and amazing lines in Scripture. We, who are flesh, who have nothing in common with God, God has chosen to adopt, and we are temples of God. The Holy Spirit abides in us, and with the Holy Spirit abiding in us, we become holy, and we have all knowledge and all righteousness. But you have to live like that. By the way, that is why there are things that are forbidden by God. In our licentious age, every type of immorality, every type of sexual excess possible is condoned, promoted, and even paid for by our government. But the reason why we do not fornicate, in whatever form that fornication takes, with whomever, is because we are temples of the Holy Spirit, and we dare not defile the temple of God. And to do things that are unholy defiles the temple. To swear, to lie, to cheat, to be rapacious, to be sexually immoral, defiles the temple of God. To hate defiles the temple of God. You must remember that. When you're sinning, you are defiling God's temple because you are sinning against yourself and God, who wishes to abide in you, you're sinning against Him. It is a great privilege to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let's live like that. Remember this. You know, as a pastor, I see people go through a lot of difficulties. It's always about our thoughts. Always. Every time someone's going through troubles, their thoughts are the major factor. And their thoughts are jumbled up. And their thoughts are wrong. And their thoughts are dark and depressing. And sometimes their thoughts might be unclean and might be self-indulgence and making excuses and all the rest. You should have one thought override all those thoughts. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. God has chosen to abide in you. This is a great privilege and a great responsibility. You know, if you were to have an audience with the King, you would wear your best clothing and it would be clean. Well, you don't just have an audience with the King. The King abides in you and lives in you. And you are bought with a price, and you are more precious than anything in the universe. No matter how you feel about yourself, no matter how much you feel you've messed up, or how you continue to sin, or that you have broken relationships, or whatever it is that affects humankind, and we all have that stuff, no matter, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Never forget that. Much of our sin would go away if we remembered that. Because let's face it, most of the day we live pretty much outside of God. Go do this, do that. When I ask people if they pray in the morning, I often get an answer, I don't have time. You don't have time? Do you have time to breathe? Do you have time to eat, to drink, to make a cup of coffee? This should be as natural as breathing, praying to God, because God abides in us. We don't have to go anywhere to find God. He's right with us. Remember this. This will help you immensely when you have your struggles with your thoughts. And we all come across those struggles. Some of us are in these struggles for long, protracted, terrible periods. Some people struggle with their thoughts ineffectively for their entire lives. That's not what you were born for. You were born to feel God within you. You were born to feel joy and to be righteous in this life because the Holy Spirit abides in you. Remember that you are a co-laborer with Christ. Now, as far as I can see, besides thoughts, the major thing that holds us back is our self-centeredness, is our love of self, is our self-indulgence, thinking of ourselves before others. But if you are a co-laborer with Christ, and you labor as Christ labors, then you don't think of yourself first, you think of others first. And by the way, Christ labored to people whether they were deserving or not. After all, he taught Judas for 3 years, knowing that he would betray him. He didn't treat Judas any differently. Judas performed miracles too, you know. When they went out two by two, Judas also raised the dead and made the lame walk and the blind to see, just like the other apostles. So without respect to persons, Jesus helped everyone. And so if you think of others, it will cleanse you of many, many sins. Because basically, as far as I can see it, our sins are because of our self-centeredness and our thoughts. And if you learn to think of others before yourself because you are a co-laborer with Christ, you're not making this up now. You're not taking this upon yourself without any authority. God has given you the authority to labor with him. If you do that, then you will stop thinking of yourself. and you will think of others. You will then be opened up to God's love, which is all around us and within us. But you will feel that love and understand that love, and that you will have knowledge and joy in your life. It's very, very important. You look at your life. You tell me what problem in your life cannot be traced to your thoughts or your self-centeredness. Which one? When we are self-centered, we close ourselves off from God. But we were born to serve God and to be not just to serve him as slaves, but as co-laborers and as friends. So brothers and sisters, remember these words of the Apostle Paul. We are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. And also that we are the temple of God and the Holy Spirit of God dwells in us. Remember this. This will save you from many sins, and this will help you. May God help you in all things. Amen.